as we move into the 4 o'clock hour, it's Christian Arcan, Andy Hart, WEEI Afternoons. Nice to have you with us today. Got some phone lines open for you here at 617-779-7937 if you'd like to join the conversation. It's a countdown to May Day. We're just about 48 hours away until we see our first glimpse of Drake May, the starter here for your New England Patriots. According to Gerard Mayo, he's been good at practice. The locker room is energized. Everything's sort of in place here for a debut, a rookie quarterback who is a lot is expected of, I think. And you're going up against a tough defense here who has not been giving any quarter to any of these other quarterbacks who are also, in some cases, some of the better quarterbacks in the NFL. They did get smoked this year, Houston did, by the Vikings.
Mm-hmm.
Vikings just dragged them up and down the field. Other than that, they've been a very, very tough customer for anyone that they've had to play. And the Vikings right now are a wagon of a team that looks like could be one of the big surprises here in the NFL this season. That being said, Patriots now, with their rookie quarterback and with a renewed sense of purpose, I think, this does feel like, in a lot of ways, a rebirth for this team, for the 2024-25 Patriots. They're not the same team. They're not going to be talked about in the same way as they were in this previous month with Jacoby Brissett. But the question I have for you, Andy Hart, is that we were told Drake May was going to sit on the sidelines and learn.
Mm.
What do you think he learned? What do you think Drake May learned these past 5 weeks?
I think he learned the speed of the game. I think he learned some of the, what do they call, operational stuff in terms of how a game is called and situationally and just the atmosphere of a game for a guy
mm-hmm.
who wasn't used to calling plays in a huddle, wasn't used to, you know, is more used to lining up, looking at sidelines, things of that nature.
Yep.
And just doing NFL work, being a professional quarterback for the Patriots in the NFL, the way Alex Van Pelt wants it done. I would say probably some things maybe that he wouldn't even necessarily admit this, but missed opportunities, maybe things he saw that Jacoby Brissett didn't necessarily maximize. Like, it wouldn't stun me if he watched some of the stuff, maybe even watched it with Pop Douglas and mm-hmm. was like, oh, yeah, you were open on that backside corner or
yeah.
whatever. You know what I mean? Like, and maybe learn from some of that and like scanning the field, not seeing the pressure, things not to do, not to anticipate. So now, do I think that is 80% of his developmental growth? Nope. Probably the flip.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably, you know, proportionally the other way. 80% is having to get out there and actually do it
yep.
in a game. But I also think even the you made the joke earlier about the VR stuff.
Right.
Do I think there's value in that? Yep. Like some small percentage, and then small percentage watching Brissett, and mm-hmm. small percentage practice, and then big percentage starts on Sunday
yep.
when you actually take the field, take a snap, and Will Anderson or Danelle Hunter tries to take your head off and kill you, and you know you're put in that situation. So I think there's value, but the big value. It's like, remember those old pictures of like the iceberg? You just see the little tip of the iceberg, and mm-hmm. then there's like that huge
underneath it, right? Yeah.
This is the part that's underwater now that he has to deal with.
Yeah. I think that it's fair to question whether playing him in garbage time a little bit more over the last 5 weeks, he did get into one game. If you had played him a little bit more than that, do you think he'd be more comfortable going into this
Absolutely.
Game on Sunday? Of course he would, right?
Absolutely. Like, I don't,
yeah.
whatever you thought of, and I know Giardi threw out like, there was some regression in his footwork. Okay, and what, 12 plays? Like,
right.
And you know what some of that regression was due to? Getting rock-bottomed by a guy, like a finishing move in a freaking WWE ring. But there was also...
I understand not playing him against Miami. That was a close game, and you wanted Brissett
yeah.
to go out there and finish. You could have played him in that Niners game.
Absolutely.
100% you could have played him in
so,
the Niners game.
And I think there's value in all those reps. For a guy like him right now, every one of those reps matter. And we're going to see where he's at and where he can get to in a short period of time. But when you were talking about that, sort of you have an inflection point here, an opportunity for things to change, mm-hmm. and the energy maybe really has changed, and all of those things. The New York Jets have an inflection point here as well. They
yep.
did a different mid-season move that, who do you think gets more bang for their change buck this week? The Jeff Ulbrich / what's his name? Todd. Who's the new offensive play caller? Todd something?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, let me check.
Forgot his name. But, you know, they made the moves where they fire Saleh.
Todd Downing.
Downing.
Yeah.
Todd Downing.
Yeah.
Do they get more bang for their buck out of Downing and Ulbrich? Or do the Patriots get more bang for... Now, obviously, they're a more talented team with
higher
aspirations.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, the Jets are better, so I feel like good players playing better is going to look like something more than the Patriots and Drake May elevating the weaker team.
But are you sure they're going to play better? Like, you sure this is going to work?
I think
according
the first week, yeah.
Rodgers loves Robert Saleh and his family, and we got to think about the children and everything.
Okay, well, he was obviously lying when he said all that, but yes. I think that Rodgers... I mean, listen... You look at that Jets roster, it's one thing I agree with Bill about is that that roster is really good. Offensively, there's a lot of good players there, a lot of skilled players. There was clearly a clash of issues or ideas or whatever between Rodgers and Saleh. I do think Rodgers is a bit of a coach killer, so that no matter who's in there and who's responsible for it, I think Rodgers will find a way to kind of make it all about him and, you know, make it this sort of adversarial thing and uncomfortable and maybe even a little bit toxic. I think that could happen even if it's a guy that he handpicks, which isn't what's happening here right now. He didn't handpick this guy. It just happens to be the offensive coordinator, and they're doing an interim thing.
Yeah,
he did handpick Hackett, but he's keeping Hackett, you know, he's keeping him on staff. They didn't
fire
Hackett.
Rub his leg or something?
Yeah, do ayahuasca with.
Or make fun of Downing when he's not listening?
Something
did you hear
like that
play call?
Yeah,
or something?
I think that in general, I would lean towards the quarterback as the more impactful thing. But I think in this instance, based just on how much better I think the Jets are on paper, it'd probably be them.
I'm going to say it's the Patriots. Now, it may be hard to read because the delta could be bigger, but the Patriots aren't that good.
Yeah.
So even if they get a better boost out of Drake May... That doesn't mean they're necessarily now competing for a wild card spot and going to go on some 6-game winning streak. I just think there is I'm a sucker. I'm just going to this whole story has sucker written right across my forehead. It really does. Because I even bought what Mayo was selling because it falls in line with what I think can happen when you bring in a young quarterback.
Confirmation bias.
Absolutely. Confirmation bias. He tells, there was better energy. Well, I knew there was going to be better energy. I told you all along, you play May, you're going to have better energy. I've said it back to the preseason. Was that week two against Seattle? Mm-hmm. I mean, Philly?
No, Philly, yeah.
That there was a buzz when he came on the field.
Yeah.
You could feel the buzz. I think that's special, and I think that has value. Now, he just has to not screw it up by throwing, like, three picks and a pick six and that kind of stuff.
Yeah, exactly. And he almost threw one in his first throw against the Jets there,
almost
too,
so. Doesn't count.
It's
they
true.
Don't keep almosts.
I know that. But
Jacoby Brissett almost threw a pick in Cincinnati.
I know.
Remember that.
I understand. I'm saying, if he goes out there and throws another ball like that...
If it doesn't get caught, then it doesn't matter.
Doesn't matter. That's true. But I'd like to see him go out there and not do that. 617-779-7937. Let's go to the phones. Jamal is in traffic. Go ahead, Jamal.
Guys, Andy, man.
What's up?
I feel like I have Stockholm syndrome or something because I am so close to really liking you, but I don't know. I just can't get over.
Appreciate
he's a tough guy to like,
can't
Jamal.
Ditto.
Yeah. Y'all can shut up. I'm very likable.
I'm likable, damn it.
I don't know.
Go ahead, Jamal.
I don't know. But I'm calling because I realize that the Patriots haven't been really good situationally, and pretty much since Tom Brady left, it's been on a steady downcline. The thing that gets me excited about Drake May is that if he can just be, you know, just be good situationally, not, you know, it was funny you mentioned the Keon White thing with the defense. He didn't have to put his team back by getting those penalties. You know, we have that dude Levitt that had two in a row. I think if Drake May is good situationally, it can add a spark, and then we can start building from that and realizing what we need to build on as long as we have a competent quarterback.
Yeah, Jamal, I think you're onto something there, and it's not a very high bar to clear now. I mean, when we talk about situational with the quarterback, it's okay. At the end of the game when there's 4 seconds left and you have no timeouts, don't throw it in the middle of the field. You know, that's like a situational thing you can improve on that I think – you know, Drake May hopefully understands and grasps and gets. But also, the thing about situational football is you got to be in the situation to learn, to understand what to do and how to react and know how you're going to react and know what the other team's going to try and bait you into doing like they did in that Hunter Henry play in Miami and how to avoid that and how to go ahead and do it. And you can't do it if you're not on the field.
And I think there's no chance Drake May makes that throw, in my opinion. I think he either throws it in the end zone, maybe into triple coverage, just trying to make a play, or his thing where I think he could learn in that situation, he runs and he gets tackled in the middle of the field. And you have the same result where the clock runs out, but I think there will be some of those like, oh yeah, I can't do that either. And it's just going to be fun. Like that is the simplest way I can boil this down. This feels like it's going to be fun on Sunday. When was the last, like opening day was the last fun game. I guess
Seattle was kind of a fun game.
But opening day was
very
fun. Last
three have not been particularly fun.
No, no fun, sir, at all, as they say in Remember the Titans.
Yes.
And this is going to be fun one way or the other. And somebody's going to be cheering. Somebody's going to be taking a victory lap, either the pro-Drakes or the anti-Drakes. Somebody's taking a victory lap Sunday night and Monday.
All right, Bob's on the Cape. Go ahead, Bob.
Hi. I think the type of questions Gerard Mayo would wants to be asked at a press conference is none at all.
Oh?
What? He doesn't want to be asked nothing at this point. It's just he's on the defensive for everything response he makes.
Okay. I mean, I think that he, more so than like Belichick in particular, I mean, there's a lot of other coaches out there that talk to the media and are okay with the give and take with the media. I don't agree with that. I think that Mayo does sort of like being up there. I think he likes fielding these questions, and he cares about the answers that he gives, too. Sometimes to a fault. Sometimes he goes way overboard and over-explains everything and gives away the whole, you know, the whole idea, the whole plan. But, like, in general, I don't think that he dreads going up there. And I don't think he dreads talking to Hillman and those guys. Like, I think he welcomes that.
I think he fancies himself good at it. And fancies himself able to answer in his way. Like, today, I don't know if you heard the whole thing where he explained what he means by transparency, and he said basically giving you the information that I want you to have,
right,
kind of way, in which is really no different than Belichick. Yeah. Belichick gave us the information he wanted us to have, too. Now, maybe it was less information than Mayo gives us, but he only gave us what we wanted to have. No, I think he likes being, like today he even started with, oh, you guys are firing questions away the other day. Today you got nothing? Because there was like a pause when he opened it up to questions. I think even had the thing with Phil yesterday or 2 days ago. Remember when he said, wait, can you ask that question again? I want to make sure I answer it. He was mid-answer, right. And he told him to start the question over again so he could make sure he answered it right. So
yeah. That's not someone who hates being up there and doesn't want to answer
questions.
I think
he enjoys
questions.
It.
Yeah,
now,
I think he does,
too. Hasn't done great at it throughout the entirety of January through now. There's been ups and downs.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think he's probably getting better at it. I think there's probably, would you agree, less mines that he's stepped on?
Yeah, lately I'd say there's been less of
that.
There
were more in the offseason.
Mm-hmm.
Quick response to the texter, the 508 that says, no, you're not Jones. Jones is in the mid days now. Jones is in 10-2 with Keith. I'm not Jones. I'm Andy.
Is he talking about us or Mac Jones?
No, I think I said I'm likable, and he said, no, you're not. That's what I think that
response
is. Oh, you're not
likable. Right.
And I may not be likable.
He's right that you're not likable,
but
he's
I'm not
wrong
Jones.
That you're Jones. Yes, okay.
I would argue I'm more likable than Jones. I don't know how likable I am.
I don't know. Mr. Confetti Guns over here, he's a big teddy bear these days.
That was weird.
It was weird.
Didn't seem natural.
617-779-7937. We'll get to more of your phone calls here in just a minute. The Patriots injury report for Friday is out. Ramondre Stevenson ruled out. Ramondre Stevenson is out for Sunday. That's official. Official from the team. Also questionable are Kyle Duggar, Kendrick Bourne, Marcus Jones, Nick Leverett, KJ Osborne, Laydon Robinson, Sione Takitaki, Marco Wilson, Isaiah Bolden.
Jesus.
It's a long list of questionables, but Ramondre Stevenson, the only one so far who has been ruled out. Texans injury report out as well. For more on that, here's Stiz with what's trending. And when we come back, we will have our scouting report for the Texans.